بسم الله، الحمد لله، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. السلام عليكم ورحمته. What?
No, I was just saying, I'm sorry, salam alaikum.
You're saying salams to me.
No, I was saying salai salam.
Oh.
Did I throw you off?
I thought you were saying like, Sajid, like, something. I thought you were whispering to me.
No, we're not live.
I was like, what happened? Like, Sajid,
we're live.
You forgot to... بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Alhamdulillah, today we have a very important topic. We're going to be counting down 10 of the most common, weak, and fabricated hadith and stories that we hear attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or the Sahaba, or the Deen of Islam. With me today is the founder of the Authentic Hadith Foundation, Omar Shatila, and this is sort of his specialty. This is why he started the Authentic Hadith Foundation, because unfortunately this is something that's very common amongst the Ummah, is transmitting weak and fabricated narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So first things first, we want to talk about the importance of authenticating a hadith and information that is attributed to the religion of Islam.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. جزاك الله خير for making this video on this very important topic. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, whoever attributes to me a lie or lies against me intentionally, let him take his place in hellfire. This hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم shows us the severity and seriousness of attributing to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that which he did not say, attributing anything false to him, saying that he said or did something which he never said or did, is something serious and severe in the deen. And if we stop and think for a second, why is it so severe? Why is it so serious that the person who does it, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, let him take his place in hellfire, whoever does so intentionally? It's because the person who adds in these false, fabricated, weak narrations or attributes them to the Prophet ﷺ, then that person is changing the deen, because that's where we get our deen from. We get it from the Qur'an and from the authentic sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. And so when someone attributes things to the Prophet and people build the rulings, how they worship Allah on those statements of the Prophet ﷺ, if they're not authentic, then they're practicing something which is not part of the deen. And they're building rulings on things that are not true, that are not authentic, and thus you have people who are practicing things that are not part of Islam, thinking that they are part of the deen. The Prophet ﷺ also said in another authentic hadith that whoever relates a hadith from me which is seen to be a lie, which is seen to be a lie, then he is one of the liars. And again, the some of the scholars commented and said that whoever narrates from the Prophet ﷺ something that he is doubtful, he doesn't know if it's true or not, doesn't know if it's authentic or not, that he is like someone who's lying against the Prophet ﷺ. So they fall under that severe warning. If someone, it's not just someone who intentionally attributes lies to the Prophet ﷺ, but even someone who narrates a hadith not knowing whether it's true or it's not, whether it's weak, fabricated, authentic, hasan, sahih, not knowing whether it's true or not, then they fall under that warning. And so unless we are sure of what we're narrating, that the Prophet ﷺ did in fact say this, unless it's authentic, then we shouldn't be relating it.
Yes, subhanAllah. I mean, how many of us have done this, myself included? I remember when I first embraced Islam, I would read online stories and a hadith, and I'd hear them in khutbahs, and I would just relay them. I'd have no idea. And then years down the line, when I met you, and you would tell me about, the importance of authentication, you find out so many, subhanAllah, things that we may have passed on were fabricated. So this is a very clear warning that we should take heed of.
And do you know one interesting thing that, subhanAllah, you know, when I was thinking about this issue, if we think about it, who are the people that are falling into this the most? You know, and to see how this is a trap of shaitan. The people that are attributing the most lies to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam are actually the Muslims. Not only the Muslims that are practicing amongst them, because they're the ones who are interested in learning the deen, wanting to practice Islam, wanting to follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, care about what he said and did, and unintentionally they might fall into that by hearing something. So they share it, they spread it, they say it. And you know, if anyone else, if someone from any other faith attribute something to the Prophet ﷺ which he did not say, we would all be, you know, upset about that. We'd say, how, you know, why are you lying against the Prophet ﷺ? But then, subhanAllah, how this is a trap of shaitan, how we end up sometimes, the Muslims who are practicing their deen, who care about following the Prophet ﷺ, who are the ones falling into this the most, attributing things to the Prophet which he never said.
Yes, yeah, subhanAllah. So, yeah, so that's the, that is the point of this video. It's not to spread these as if they're true. It's to show how probably many of you have heard what we're about to tell you. You've probably heard some of these stories, some of these quote-unquote facts and narrations. And let us know in the comments if you've heard these before, if you didn't know that they were weak or fabricated. And that's the point. It's, this is to be a warning so that you can all know, if you do hear these again, to point out that these are either all of these that we're about to mention, they're either extremely weak or just completely fabricated. Okay, so without further ado, let's get into to number 10.
So I'm sure everyone's heard the story. Actually, I was, you know, watching one of your videos, and one of the brothers mentioned in the, one of the comments, this story, the hadith where Allah told the angels to destroy a city that the people were committing sins in it, or you know, doing bad deeds. And that angel responded and said, "Oh Allah, there's one of your servants, one of the worshippers who worshipped you so much, you know, one of the good people there in that city. He never disobeyed you, not once." And so Allah responded, saying, "Start with him, or you know, flip it on, flip the town on him and the rest of them, because he never, his face never, you know, turned upset for me, not once. He never basically expressed displeasure at the sins that are being committed in this town at all." And this is a very weak narration. It's not an authentic story at all.
Mm-hmm. Yes, subhanAllah. And this was actually just, I posted a video yesterday and somebody posted this in the comments. So, subhanAllah, you can see how common this sort of thing is. All right, so that's number 10. Number 9.
Number 9 is a very common message, hadith that a lot of people spread, especially before Ramadan starts, saying that the Prophet ﷺ, claiming that the Prophet ﷺ said that whoever tells other people that Ramadan is here first, then the hellfire is forbidden from them. And this is a completely baseless and fabricated hadith that is not true and not authentic at all.
Right, subhanAllah. Number 8.
Number 8 is what is widespread amongst the people, is that when Khadija radiallahu anha, the wife of the Prophet sallam, when she married the Prophet sallam, that she was 40 years old. And there's no authentic narration that tells us how old she was when she married the Prophet sallam. There are many different narrations that are all very weak that mention different ages, actually. Some from 25, 28, you know, 35, you know, 40, you know, even old, more than 40. So there's a wide variety of different ages mentioned in those different narrations, but none of them are authentic. Mm-hmm. So there's no authentic hadith or narration that lets us know how old Khadija radiallahu anha was when she married the Prophet sallallahu
alaihi wasallam. Yes, subhanAllah. I know that that is just so widespread. I don't think I ever even questioned her being 40. Until I was actually in Medina studying Sirah. That's the first time I came across it. I was like, subhanAllah. Okay, so that's number 8. What about number 7?
Number 7 is, you know, the story about when the Prophet sallam, was, when revelation kind of stopped, when wahy stopped, you know, he got so sad, the Prophet sallam got so sad that he was going around, he went to the mountains trying to throw himself off the cliff. You know, and you know, every time he tried to throw himself, an angel would show up, you know, in front of him, saying, you know, you're the messenger of Allah, you know, don't do that. Don't commit suicide, basically. And that's not an authentic story at all. It's a very weak narration that that isn't true.
Yeah, and that you know, that just being the fact that many of us don't know Arabic, so our resources for the seerah are so limited. I remember I used to work at an Islamic bookstore, and we had maybe one or two seerah books, you know, and both of them had, unfortunately, many. One of them for sure had this in it, and even other things that are even further off. And so, subhanAllah, it's very important for us to learn Arabic so we have access to more authentic knowledge. What about number 6?
So this story I've heard so many times from so many people, so many lectures, shuyukh, you know, khutbas, you know, of how this Jewish man or Jewish lady, I mean, there's people, you know, make up all kinds of stuff. The whole thing is a fabricated, baseless story. It's not true. How this, you know, Jewish woman used to throw trash in front of the house of the Prophet ﷺ every day. And then the one day when he didn't find trash in front of his house, the Prophet ﷺ, you know, knew she was sick. And he went over to visit her and see how she's doing. And she said, "How did you know I was sick?" And he said, "Well, the trash, you know, disappeared today. I didn't see any trash in front of my house today." And so she accepted Islam. And this is a completely fabricated, baseless story. It's not found in any of the books of Sunnah or Hadith.
SubhanAllah. Yeah, let us know in the comments, because some of these, like, we're getting, as we get closer to number one, some of these are probably very, very common. I can't even count how many times I've heard that story, SubhanAllah. All right, so what was that? That was number six. All right, so number five.
Number five is the story that when the companions were, you know, going out on a journey to conquer a city, and there was a fortress, and you know, they tried their best to get into through the fortress, through the gates, but they couldn't. And so they sat down to take a break and try to figure out how to get through. And so they started using the miswak, started cleaning their teeth with the miswak. And so the people in the fortress saw them, you know, using the miswak. They thought they were sharpening their teeth. And they said, "Oh, no, they're going to come eat us." So they gave up and let them take over the fortress. And again, this is a completely fabricated, baseless story, which is not found in any of the books of Hadith.
MashaAllah. I remember I used to always hear that story when brothers would encourage you to use the miswak. You know, they'd use that story, SubhanAllah.
And you know, SubhanAllah, all these we mentioned, you know, when people spread things that aren't authentic, they end up not quoting, not following the ones that are actually authentic. You know, how many Hadith are there? And the Prophet ﷺ urging us to use the miswak and the virtue of using the miswak. And cleaning, you know, our teeth in general, and just being clean, you know, and proper hygiene. And, you know, we don't need fabricated stories to encourage us to practice our deen. We don't need fabricated stories that sometimes conflict with what our deen says and what the teaching of Islam actually saying and what the authentic sunnah actually teaches.
SubhanAllah, like you said, sometimes they'll actually replace the authentic ones, which is very problematic. Yes. So where are we at? Number four?
Number four. This is again a very common story where Ali radiallahu anhu was in a battle fighting one of the mushrikeen, and he was able to overpower him. Finally, he was about to kill him, but the man spit in his face, and so Ali stopped and he walked away. You know, some people say, "Oh, he gave him back his sword." You know, say, "Fight me," you know, and so. But there's so many different variations of this baseless, you know, fabricated story. Anyways, that people keep adding stuff and changing things in it, even though it's completely fabricated altogether. That he didn't kill him because it wasn't, yes, you know, because it would have been out of anger, not out of sincerity. And so this whole story is not true.
Right, SubhanAllah. So he was about to kill this individual, but then he got spit in the face, and he said, "No, I stopped." He stopped killing him because he wanted to have ikhlas when he was killing him, and not out of anger, right?
Yeah, and you know what? And some people always add at the end of these stories, and so this person accepted Islam. Always,
right.
You know,
right,
there's,
right,
you know, I mean, sometimes, you know, things like that happen. You know, in the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ today, you know, and the person accepts Islam. Sometimes these things happen, the person doesn't accept Islam, and maybe another time I'll share an authentic story from the Prophet ﷺ, where the person at the end doesn't accept Islam, you know, but he recognizes how virtuous and noble the Prophet ﷺ is. So it's not. It's funny how sometimes people always add at the end that, you know, at the end of these completely fabricated stories, they even add more stuff and you know, make the person automatically accept Islam, and gives us an unrealistic expectation of giving da'wah as well, and how guidance comes to people as well. Sometimes people do, sometimes people don't. Sometimes people accept Islam has nothing to do with some fascinating story, you know, and some just logical, you know, methodological process of learning about Islam and its teachings and realizing, hey, this is the truth, and accepting. And sometimes, you know, people see miracles at the time of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. People seeing miracles in front of them and still rejecting the truth.
Yeah. Now, and also it reminds me of what you said in the beginning about who's actually spreading a lot of these fabricated stories. It's like Muslims, and they might be well-intentioned Muslims. Mm-hmm. Like when I first became Muslim and I was giving da'wah with particular groups and people and stuff like that, they would always add that at the end of all these different like stories that they had. You know, they have these stories about like the Jewish neighbor, about what you just quoted just now, and always at the end, so she accepted Islam. So this happened and they accepted Islam, you know. So anyway, so that's number four. Let's get to number three.
So number three is the famous story about the Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, who was sitting with a group of his companions, his friends, and he laughed a little bit, then he started crying. And so people there asked him, why did you laugh? And then started crying. He said, well, I remember when during time of Jahiliyyah, before Islam, you know, when, you know, I used to make an idol out of dates, you know, and we used to worship it. And then when we got hungry, we used to eat it. And so he laughed. And then he said, then I remember then, you know, when I had a small baby daughter and I wanted to bury her alive. And so I took her with me and I dug a hole in the ground and she was brushing, you know, the dirt off of my beard with her hand, you know, and then I buried her alive. And that story is completely fabricated, you know, baseless, has no basis in any of the books of hadith. There's nothing authentically narrated that Umar al-Khattab radiallahu anhu buried any of his daughters alive.
You know what? And one of the things that's so sad about that is to me, that's probably what I've heard narrated the most in regards to Umar radiallahu anhu. You know what I mean? And it's not even authentic, subhanAllah. So let's get to number two.
So number two is a very, you know, quoted, you know, hadith that is fabricated. But people quote it when people, you know, disagree or differ, or there's difference of opinion, they quote this hadith. The hadith says, the difference of opinion amongst, or the differing among my ummah is a mercy. And subhanAllah, that actually conflicts with the teachings of Islam and the Quran and the authentic sunnah. It's a fabricated hadith, it's not true, and the meaning of it isn't, you know, I mean, some people try to interpret it in a way which could have a sound meaning, but either way, regardless, I mean, it's a fabricated hadith.
Yeah, subhanAllah. When I first became Muslim, I remember being pulled all these different directions in terms of madhahib, and people would often quote this and make it seem as if, you know, it doesn't, like, as if there's not necessarily one correct opinion about something, you know, as if you can sit there and sort of pick and choose, and subhanAllah, and it's not even an authentic narration. All right, so number one, we actually just heard this at a fundraiser during Ramadan a few weeks back, and I'm sure all of you, well, hopefully you haven't heard it, but I think a lot of you probably have, and that's why it's number one. Can you guess what it is?
Unfortunately, I'm pretty sure, you know, the average person out there have come across this in some book, lecture, khutbah, but the number one for today's video, fabricated hadith, is seek knowledge even if it's in China.
Yeah.
You know, and subhanAllah, you know, there's authentic hadith urging us to seek knowledge.
Yeah.
Rasulullah said, seek knowledge is an obligation upon every Muslim. You know, we don't need these fabricated hadith narrations that we quote instead and let go of what's authentically narrated from the Prophet ﷺ.
Yes, subhanAllah, that's an excellent point. So aside from just these particular widespread stories and quotes, just to understand that they're either weak or fabricated, but there are many other important points that you made. One is just the danger of quoting fabricated and weak hadith. Number two is that they replace stuff that's authentic. We don't need fabricated and weak hadith when we have all these authentic hadith and teachings. And third, subhanAllah, unfortunately, it's many of us who have good intentions, we're actually practicing, you know, that can fall into this because we just hear something and we assume that, you know, what we heard in the khutbah was correct or what this person told us is authentic, and then we go spreading it around. So hopefully people have, you know, the importance of this topic has been brought to your attention. And
see one thing that is, you know, that is important to point out is that because this is happening so much, so many weak and fabricated hadith are so widespread that sometimes if a person is exposed, most of what they're exposed to are not authentic, mm-hmm. then they're building their perception of the deen, their understanding of the teaching of Islam, how to practice Islam, how to worship Allah, how to follow the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, completely in a skewed way on things that are not authentic, that are not part of the deen.
Yes, subhanAllah. So anyways, Jazakumullahu khairan, everybody, for watching. Jazakallah khair, brother Omar.
Jazakallah.
Please let us know what you think in the comments. And I ask Allah that He give us sound, proper, authentic knowledge, and He protect us from being of those who falsely attribute things to the Prophet. And until next time, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.